This is a case that we've documented and uncovered for the world to ponder. Dr. Bentley was a retired physician, 92 years of age, living in the northern part of our home state of Pennsylvania back in 1966 in Cartersport, up in Potter County. God's country, they call it up there. Well, God presented a real mystery to the people who live in Potter County that December 5 of 1966, and subsequently to the rest of the world, because we've uncovered what happened to Dr. Bentley, and we demand that science take a closer look at Dr. Bentley's baffling burning. On the morning of December 5, a local meter reader for the Penn Gas Company, Don Gosnell, walked into Dr. Bentley's home at 403 North Main Street in Cartersport to read the gas meter down in the basement. He yelled his customary good morning to the good doctor and proceeded down the basement steps to read the gas meter on the basement. And while Don Gosnell was down there, he noticed that over in a corner of the earthen floor of the basement was a pile of ash about 5 inches in height, 13 or 14 inches in diameter, he told us. Being a volunteer fireman, Don walked over, kicked it with his work boot, then looked overhead to see, you know, what had burned to produce this little pile of ash. Notice about a 2-by-3-foot hole in the basement ceiling with some cherry red embers around the perimeter of the hole. And he thought to himself as he told us, gee, there must have been a fire in Dr. Bentley's home overnight. Wonder why the fire department didn't get a call to come out and respond and put it out. He walked back up the steps to the first floor, noticed that there was a hazy, whitish kind of light smoke in the hallway. It had a really sweet smell to it. He found that curious. Before leaving Dr. Bentley's home, he knocked on Dr. Bentley's living room door again, mm-hmm. got no response, because this was 1966 and it was Cartersport. People didn't lock the door, so Don opened the door to Dr. Bentley's two-room apartment, looked inside, expecting to see the good doctor, did not see him. Walked through the living room and peered around the door jamb into the bathroom. That was the only other place Dr. Bentley could have been, or he's still there. And at that point, Gosnell discovered the scene at the other side of the hole that he had just come from in the basement floor. Now he was looking down into that hole from the first floor and saw next to the hole one half of a leg that he first thought was a mannequin leg, kind of brownish in color, wearing a leather slipper.
Oh, jeez.
On top of the hole was the aluminum walker that Dr. Bentley used to move about his two-room apartment. And at that moment, it dawned on Don Gosnell that the ashes that he had just kicked moments before down in the basement must have been the remains of the good Dr. Bentley. He fled from the house down to his work office, burst into the door screaming the understatement of 1966. Dr. Bentley's burned up. Well, indeed, Dr. Bentley did. He notified his colleagues and went back to the home, but refused to go back into Dr. Bentley's home because he was just so horrified by what he had discovered that early morning in December 5. Warned his firefighting colleagues not to go in. They, of course, did not believe the description that he gave to them. They had to go in and see for themselves. Nobody could possibly burn up, as Don Gosnell told them that Dr. Bentley did. They came out scratching their heads collectively, acknowledging that what Don had described to them was indeed exactly what had happened. Dr. Bentley had somehow managed to burn himself almost completely to powder, save that half of one leg and a knee bone, a patella, that was found on a post in the basement. The rest of Dr. Bentley had self-cremated to powder.
And that includes the skull, right?
We're not sure. Initially there was no report of the skull. In the photograph that we have, which probably has now become the world's best known photograph of so-called spontaneous human combustion, because it quintessentially depicts all the classic characteristics of this phenomenon. There is an ovoid mass laying on the water pipes next to the oaken beams that were almost completely burned through, which may be Dr. Bentley's head, but from the photographic evidence, you just can't ascertain that. We were at the fire scene 10 years later. The hole in the floor had been patched by then, but the bathtub was still there. And in the photograph, and as we saw with our own eyes, the bathtub had been painted with enamel paint. And while part of that paint has been blackened by carbonization from the burning of Dr. Bentley's body, there was insufficient heat just inches away from the hole through which his body incinerated to blister that paint on the bathtub. There was no heat or flame damage overhead. And as we've learned in our fire arson courses, you should expect many times more damage above a source of fire than you would surrounding the fire and underneath the source of the fire. That was not the case in the Dr. Bentley fire scene.
This spontaneous human combustion, how long do you think it takes, Larry, for someone to burn up?
It might take several hours, which will allow the proponents of the wick theory to say, aha, you know, this is not spontaneous human combustion. This is slow, smoldering body fat. Well, there's a problem to that because the shortest duration case that we have in our database where we have first responders, skilled firefighters attesting to how long this phenomenon took in one specific case, and that would be the Helen Conway case from Upper Darby Township outside of Philadelphia back in 1964. They avowed to us, to a man, that Mrs. Conway had no more than 30 minutes in which she could have burned herself largely to cinder. They were bumfuddled by the events, and particularly by the time frame. But the time frame becomes even more astounding when, if you would do what we did, sitting down with the fire photographer who later became the fire marshal for Upper Darby, Barb Meslin, as he explained the routine and the time frame that it took him to get his camera back to the fire scene and have the smoke ejected by the other first responders, and then for him to take a dozen photographs of that remarkable fire scene. If you back up all that time from the 21-minute window, which is what Bob Meslin said was the maximum time Helen Conway had available to her to incinerate, having last been known to be alive, back up that time frame and you come down to the astonishing figure of 6 minutes, 360 seconds, was the time allowable for Mrs. Jeez. Conway from the moment she was last known to be alive, according to the investigation of the Upper Darby Fire Department, until the fire department received this call to get out to the fire scene and find a fire that they really didn't have to put out.
Will they still burn if they've died?
In other words, can spontaneous human combustion happen to a cadaver?
Well, let's assume because it's building, eventually they're going to die before they burst into flames, I would think, right? Do they, like, die from within so their heart stops or something before they've really burned up?
Yeah, that's a really provocative question because in this new case from Ireland with the pensioner, the pathologist claimed that in her investigation of whatever was left of Mr. Peter Flaherty, that he did not suffer a heart attack prior to the blaze that consumed some degree of his body.
They've got to be screaming, Larry.
Well, no, they don't got to be screaming, George. This is one of the ironies and fascinating aspects of this topic. Contrary to common sense and popular belief, when the body is exposed to high thermal energy, such as putting your hand on an electric stove burner that's been turned on for a while, or being exposed to open flame, yes, that's very painful. The
sure.
system says, hey, brain, this is something that you shouldn't be experiencing, and darn it, it hurts like heck. In cases of that would best be described perhaps as spontaneous human combustion, there is not that pain factor. If there is, frankly, any death to be experienced in a non-painful manner, spontaneous human combustion is a pretty placid, serene way to go.